Paragon 7 Studios.
You've served Oakwood for many years.
I have.
In different capacities.
Because
I remember when I first came to Oakwood, you were actually the senior pastor for the Oakwood
University
Church.
Right, I was.
So,
I've seen it on all sides.
So what changes have you seen over the years in both education and ministry?
Okay, so you're talking a lot of years, but one of the things I've seen that's a big change in ministry is the way that lay empowerment has emerged. So that in the local congregations, if we're talking about at that level, especially in the large cities, you have very, very strong lay populations who help to move the church forward. And that's really the way it should be. Today I was with Dr. Harrington Akombwa, the president of the Southern Africa Indian Ocean Division. Mm-hmm. And I asked him a question. I said, what's the biggest difference between Africa and the U.S. when it comes to the churches?
Yeah.
He said, the belief that in America, you all believe that every church should have one pastor. He said, when I started as a pastor, I had 58 churches. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
He said, but here was the good side of that. It meant the lay people had to run the ministry.
Yeah.
Because I'm just one person. So it's something to think about as we think about the church as it goes forward. What I've seen is in places where we can support it, Good shot. We've got to figure out how to empower lay people. The move. How to empower lay people to actually take up and carry ministry.
Okay.
That's a big difference. In higher education, everything has changed. Everything has changed.
Absolutely.
Since COVID, we've lost about 100 institutions just because of financial difficulty.
Yeah.
And they're all in our sector, our size category. So a part of what's being worked on now, the code that everyone is trying to crack, is how do small faith-based institutions, how do they survive and thrive in an environment where students have so many choices?
Yeah.
That's what we're dealing with.
And you know, I definitely understand. We were talking earlier. When I came for back then what was college days.
Right, right.
I stayed on this young man's audit floor in his room. And for me, I was sold.
Right,
you didn't
right.
have to tell me anything.
Right,
it was,
right,
it was
right,
open
right,
or
right,
bust
right,
for
right,
me.
Right, right, right.
So, but definitely great hearing your perspective about how things have shifted, especially in the educational space.
And with who makes the decision for college.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a huge change. There was never a question. If my parents said, I'm going to Oakwood.
Right. And it was the same for me.
Yeah.
So my parents are both Oakwood alums.
Yeah.
They told me I was going to Oakwood.
And you go to Oakwood.
I actually wanted to go.
And you go,
so
I did too.
It was fine.
I did too.
I don't think
I
that we could imagine not going to Oakwood.
Right.
That's
it
right.
Wasn't,
that's
but
right.
It wasn't even really a thought. That
but
we
to your going. Point, I do know that young people these days, if they tell their parents, I would prefer not to, the parents just say, okay.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I've had parents say to me, well, Doc, I want them to go to Oakwood, but you'll have to convince them. I said, okay. I said, can we talk about this? Can we talk? Okay. I said, tell me in what world an 18-year-old knows what they're going to value at 38 and 48.
Right. Wow.
Tell me what 18-year-old knows that when I get to be 38 or 48, I'm going to value having gone to Oakwood, having this network of friends, having these lifelong commitments, right? So she said, I never thought about that. I said, but that's why God gives them parents.
Yeah,
I believe. That's why he gives them parents.
I think you told a great story this morning, Dr. Pollard, about meeting your wife.
Yeah.
At Oakwood and how you saw her.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you said, hey, I'm gonna go find her. You know,
that's,
I'm
right,
go.
That's right, that's
and
right.
And that's an element of Oakwood that is understated
and it's
so
real.
Important. Right.
And it's real. It's real. When you look at the marriage, Do you realize that the most... Okay, so I read a book. Don't get me talking. I read a book called...
No, go on.
Go on.
Called Marriage is Marriage for White People.
Yes.
The least marriageable person in the United States is an educated black woman.
Wow.
She's got the worst marital outcomes.
Wow.
In the United States. Why is that? And where is she going to have the opportunity to meet someone who is similar to her other than an HBCU?
And what you're saying here is the point that I try to, you don't know this, my niece is a senior at Oakwood.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
So since she's been at Oakwood, I have been driving home that point. I was like, you're never, ever
going to have this concentration.
This I said, you think that it's going to exist somewhere else it's after not. You graduate, and it will not.
It's not in the field. I'm in the field all the time. It's not in the field.
Wow. So
it's at Oakwood. And it's legitimate. See, people like to make jokes about stuff like that. But when I talk to my white counterparts, as I did this week, who are working at Adventist institutions, they are very clear that one of the reasons we want you to come to Union, to Southern, to this one, to that one, education and all those other things, but the potential for finding a spouse that's compatible with your values.
Yeah.
They're very open about that.
Wow.
So I don't make jokes about it. I say, you know, yeah. Study, 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 do that well, but keep one eye on the book and the other on the look so you know. Yeah, right? So you have a sense. You'll have an opportunity.
Yeah. And so thank you for sharing that. I want to kind of shift gears a little bit and just talk to you about, like, what are some of the fundamentals of executive leadership that you use for governance and that are aligned with what our school's mission is in that context?
Yeah. So that's a good question. Of course, I've been in higher education for now for the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
I started, I always knew that I would end up in higher education in some way. Even when I was here, I minored in education.
Yeah.
So I always knew that. So I knew my life would be that of a clergy academic. I kind of knew that. And I've been in administration for 30 years. So,
you did a lot of great things at Loma Linda.
I had a great time at Loma Linda.
We spent a lot, Ian and I both spent a lot of time as Aeolians coming out to Loma Linda on
tours. Loma Linda was a wonderful place.
We remember the rec center that you built when you were at Loma Linda and how awesome that was.
Yeah, and that's what we want to build here, too,
right.
A health and wellness center. We need one. Look at this space that we're in right now.
Right.
Imagine this on the Oakwood campus.
Beautiful.
Imagine us bringing back to the campus graduation and alumni weekend and everything takes place on the campus.
Absolutely.
That would be wonderful. And that's what we're working toward. So in terms of executive leadership, it starts with a vision, and then it moves toward getting people who around you who can help carry out that vision. Pastor Edwards was talking today about his coming back with all of his experience in the field, and he had worked here in recruitment before in the 80s.
So, we were actually here when he was working in recruitment.
So he almost had no learning curve when he came back. Some subtleties, some nuances, some things that have
things
changed.
Things are different, right.
But the fundamental methods did not change. And we're seeing the result of it. This is one of our very best Oakwood Lives. One of the best organized, one of the best executed, and certainly one of the more spiritual ones, which is nice.
Good.
So executive leadership requires vision.
Uh-huh.
Because as they say, where there is no vision, there will be supervision. So there you go. Quote that. That's a wise man said that. Say, where there is no vision, there must be supervision.
Right.
So vision, and then having the right people to execute and identifying the resources to pay for the execution.
Right.
And that's where HBCUs tend to be challenged. We tend to be challenged around resources. So that's where we tend to be challenged. But I'm grateful to our alums because they have really, really stepped up. And when we report the numbers for how much has been given this year over last year, $4.5 million versus $2.5 million. So alums vote with their pocketbooks. Not with their opinions.
No, listen. And
okay, y'all mighty quiet. Church got quiet. Not with their opinions.
You're talking to somebody. I work in finance, so
right.
I'm with you on that.
That's like, exactly
both,
right.
Both of us work in finance.
Yeah, so that's not something that's for. I'm with you. Right. You know?
I got an MBA. I tell them all the time. I say I'm the first president who's had an MBA. Let me tell you something. That you vote with your dollars, not with your opinions.
Right.
We appreciate them, welcome them, but we can't spend them.
And I want to say, you know, we have you on the line. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to, you know, Dr. Pollard, president of The Oakwood University. I want to say, you know, Gian and I are both products of your business department.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We both came through.
Excellent.
And Gian and I are both executive-level individuals. So we're proof. And by the grace of God, you know, not through our own talents, Oakwood turns out some really intelligent people.
Stellar. That's
so
what I, those
a lot
are the
of
stats.
Talent at Oakwood. A lot
those
of good
are the stats I was
Oakwood.
Quoting today. I teach in the business department.
Right.
I have two appointments. I have an appointment in religion, and I have an appointment as a full professor in the business department.
Right. Well, one thing I will share with you, you talked about the network in terms of that you get at Oakwood. I tell people all the time, the job I have now is because of the Oakwood Network.
Right? Wow, wow.
And it cannot be understated enough.
Right.
It's literally like, I need a finance person.
Wow.
Well, you know what?
Wow.
I know this guy, he's good.
Wow,
This is his name.
Yeah.
Put me in contact, here I am.
Wow, wow.
And
thank
so
God, I got to share that story.
Yeah. That can't be understated. And so, like, while you might say, well, I want it, but that network,
It's invaluable.
It literally is.
It's invaluable. My college president, Calvin Rock, is still in my life.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? 40 years later. And again, Dr. Baker is still in the lives of students who were here when Dr. Reeves, before he passed. And I am, with people that graduated in 2011 and 12 and 13.
Yeah.
Look at Antoine. Wow. I've been helping him with his Antoine Knight in Detroit.
Yep.
Shout out to Antoine, running for city council. School board.
School board.
Running for school board.
He and I connected on LinkedIn, so
I've been supporting his campaign and encouraging him. And if it works out, good. If it doesn't, we know how politics is. Often people run two or three times before something breaks through. So we know that. But Oakwood, the message of Oakwood is a message of community, belonging, and a message of support. That lasts not just for 4 years, but for 40 years and 45 years and forever.
Awesome.
That's what Oakwood represents. And I really do. I don't mean it in the wrong way. I know the internet vigilantes are going to misquote me when I say it. But I often feel sad when people tell me that they're going to a different school other than Oakwood. Because I'm looking beyond the 4 years. I'm looking down the 10, the 20, the 30. I remember one time I was working at a particular school, just a quick anecdote, and there were a number of black kids there at that school, and I said to the black kids, they were complaining about racism and other things like that, so it was a PWI, Adventist PWI, and I said to them, well, why don't you go to Oakwood? And they said to me, now this is in the 1980s, when I was working there, they said, because we want more diversity and diversity and diversity and diversity. I said, okay. Fast forward about 30 years later, I see one of these students coming and registering their child at Oakwood. I said, do you remember that conversation we had when we were in the cafeteria? They said, yes. I said, and you're bringing your child to Oakwood?
Yeah.
For yourself, you wanted diversity. What changed? And the person said, my sense of belonging. I have been back to that school and they don't even know that I attended there. They don't even remember that I attended there. And I don't want that for my child. I want to break that up. And I have other friends, even before he passed, Dr. Daniel Honore, who was the president of Northeastern at the time.
Yes.
He sent every one of his children to Oakwood for that reason. He said, I went to a different school, and there are times when I'm so lonely that I would never wish that on my children.
Wow.
So Oakwood is real, and the connections and the meaning and the belonging and the community, it all really, really matters. And that's a unique value-added dimension of Oakwood, and that's why we're doing College Days.
If I could jump
college
in,
days.
If I could jump in as we get towards the end of the game, you know, we've had Dr. Leslie Pollard has sat with us, president of Oakwood University, for the fourth quarter. We really appreciate your time.
Oh, you're welcome.
You know, definitely want to get the plug for SiriusXM Satellite Radio as this is airing on SiriusXM.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Radio. How can we, the alums, how can we step in and help, you know, with recruitment? How can we help to make Oakwood kind of bring it back to the golden era when
Keenan
and I were here?
Absolutely.
They had 2,300 students.
That's right.
Just really, how can we help as alums to get it back to where it was and support you as the leader of the
institution? Absolutely, of course. And I welcome that. First of all, recognize that it's more challenging now, so it's going to take more effort on the part of alums to assist us in recruitment. There is such a thing as called the demographic cliff, where we have fewer and fewer people who are choosing college, fewer who are eligible for college. So I would say every alum can do three things. Every time you see a child, not only do you need to encourage them to come to Oakwood, but reach out to one of us at Oakwood so that we can follow up. Don't leave it to the, don't leave it to the student. 52-55.
Last couple of seconds of the game.
Yeah, two exciting games tonight.
Absolutely.
So what alums can do is they can encourage, they can also connect. You know who people are. Call people and tell them, my number is public. I give it to people. Text me. You've got a student who's interested in Oakwood. When you text me, I guarantee you we follow up on those students. We follow up. That's what alums can do. And it's going to take twice the effort because there are fewer people and there's more competition for those fewer people. The demographic cliff is real, and so the competition is more intense.
Well, one last thing. If you could kind of share, because I know you probably have some of the stats, the diversity of how many people have attended OU Live.
Okay, good, good, So we've got 644 who registered this year. We've got 567 who attended. And we've got 215 who have been accepted already into Oakwood. And that's very good.
Yeah, so just listen, thank you so much for
taking the time.
We definitely appreciate it.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity to represent your brand.
Thank you.
Dr. Pollard.
We appreciate that.
And we don't take that lightly.
We greatly appreciate it. It's an honor. Thank you for what you all are doing. All right.
Absolutely.
Good night.
Have a good night.
All right.
Good seeing you.
Enjoy, man.
You are listening to the Lance J Radio Network.
We began searching for ways to not only feed, not only bridge the access to food, but how can we fight disease? Quite naturally, that required, it was a must that we figure out how to get fresh produce, crisp greens, leafy greens, and fruits and herbs and vegetables directly to the front door of those families that needed it the most. And so we finally come out with a solution. And we call that Full Cart Fresh. We have teamed up with some of the greatest people in America, our American farmers. And through working with a collaborative of farmers across multiple states, we have created Full Cart Fresh. So imagine this, you're at a farm, the produce is picked and prepared, and it's boxed in a Full Cart Fresh box at the farm. And then through our shipping and logistics program, we ship directly from the farm, directly to the front door of the most vulnerable families in America. We have got families and seniors and children around the country who are hungry and as well as hungry are really managing coping with serious illnesses and diseases. So come along, help us. Help feeding children everywhere through our Full Cart program and the launch of our new Full Cart Fresh. Help those families in need.
Rampage, the first lieutenant of the Universal Flipmo Squad.
The construction Timbs are classic in Philly
and
New York.
They are.
Connecticut.
James Lewis.
I've never been to Connecticut, man. Connecticut, Jersey,
you're definitely from
uptown,
New York.
You're definitely
from New York if you
Harlem.
Shouted out Connecticut.
You're listening to the Lanch J Radio Network.
Hip-hop has been a reflection of culture and society.
That includes stories of struggle
and pain,
social injustice,
racial inequality,
the marginalization of communities.
Today,
we confront a healthcare system
that has been rigged against all of us.
Hospitals force patients to sign contracts for services
without ever showing us actual prices.
Stifling competition,
overcharging without accountability.
And if we can't pay, these same contracts
allow them to take everything we own.
Creating so much fear that millions and millions of Americans refuse to enter our hospital.
Putting our health in our lives at stake.
This is an American humanitarian crisis.
We love our nurses.
And we need our doctors.
But hospitals and insurers
rigging a system to make profits off of people that's in struggle is unforgivable.
We demand prices
and transparency in healthcare. Power to the patients.